It's my great pleasure this morning to have Allison Arians from Great Alaska Schools in the studio. And I've been curious for some time, so I'm looking forward to this, because I've heard bits and pieces about what your organization does, and now we have a chance to tease out the background, detail, future, et cetera. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. So, Allison, how was it that you decided to take on, of all the things you could be doing, to take on this this effort, and what role do you play?
I was born and raised in Alaska, and I was educated in the Anchorage public school system, and I think the Anchorage school system did a great job. My daughter is now in third grade at Rabbit Creek Elementary School, and I have all kinds of great things to say about that school, same elementary school that I went to. And so the reason I got involved was that I realized all of a sudden a couple months ago that our schools were facing the third year in a row of flat funding to our base student allocation, which means that we're losing all kinds of teachers this year. And we've already lost a lot of staff in the last few years. So that's kind of the first thing that got me involved, is just looking at losing a lot of teachers in our little elementary school, and looking down the pike at losing more in the future. So I started getting educated, and I found out about the Great Alaska Schools. It sort of formed right at the same time when we were finding out about all this stuff.
Oh, okay. So you weren't necessarily a founding member of that group.
Right. I went to the first meeting that was sort of it was January 25th, actually, is the day that they some parents got together and had a meeting at Winterberry School. And So a whole bunch of us showed up, and they decided to form this Great Alaska Schools organization.
Well, maybe that's a good thing to do now. We have some picture of who you are. Great Alaska Schools, it was formed. It's an organization. Tell us what kind of organization it is.
Well, it's all volunteer. It's actually really exciting. It's so young. It's only 7 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
And in 7 weeks, we've just been reaching out to as many people as we can to talk to them about what's going on with the school budget situation. So it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's independents, it's parents, it's grandparents, it's community members who don't have kids but realize the value of a good public education system to our community. So it's just... We've got almost 1,000 people now that are a member of our organization. We've got all kinds of likes on our Facebook page, and just people from all walks of life.
So I've been involved with organizations that have formed, and this one sounds almost like a flash mob crowdsourced type of modern development. However, every organization has to have some kind of core structure, organizing principle, and the rest of it. So tell us a little bit about how people gather together around this particular issue. Is there a group of people, for example, that assist in being at the center?
Sure. There's a steering committee. And okay. It's all very – it is funny. I mean, it sounds like we're just this big amorphous mob, and that's sort of what we are.
Okay.
But there is a steering committee. There's about – I guess there's about 30 of us on the email list that – the emails that go out that are, you know, sort of asking about what we do next. And we meet about once a week and talk about our goals. And we have different committees, legislative committees, and we have committees about rallies and committees about outreach and things like that. So we are a little bit organized, but since we're 7 weeks old, it's a little bit early in the early days to be incredibly organized. But we're doing everything we can to reach out and tell lots of people about what's going on with our school funding issues.
Okay. So what would you say is going on with our school funding issues? You've begun this by suggesting that there's been a missing amount, perhaps, in funding.
Right.
So how do you determine what is the right amount, or how do you deal with that?
Well, it's a great question. And what we're asking for as Great Alaska Schools is we're asking for a $400 increase to that base student allocation. The base student allocation, there's all kinds of different money that goes into the school system. There's things that go into transportation. There's things that go to retired teachers' pensions. And then there's also things that There's also the big chunk of money that goes toward teacher salaries, and that's the base student allocation. It's what pays for the curriculum. It pays for the teachers in the schools. Mm-hmm. So that amount has been flat funded since 2011. So what we're asking for is not a blank check, but we're asking the legislature to basically replace the funds that have been lost due to inflation. So basically, we would like to go back to that 2011 level and then increase it with inflation and be able to replace teachers that we've lost over the years. And we'd also like to inflation-proof it in the future so that we weren't every year going to the legislature asking for, please, can you increase the mm-hmm. base student allocation, which is a very common, we hear that every year, and it's because every year we've had to go ask the legislature to increase that.
Now, I know in the past there have been discussions and, in fact, some efforts made to forward fund mm-hmm. so that you weren't dealing with funding on an annual basis and that you were also not doing it as the big elephant in the room that was going to be decided toward the end of a session, and you have districts and hanging out there waiting to determine what they're going to do next year.
Exactly.
So do you have any position on that particular issue of forward funding?
Absolutely. We would like to see inflation-proofed base student allocation in the future. That's not very popular with the legislators because they don't like to tie themselves down or tie their future legislators down to specific amounts. So that's actually exactly what we're asking for, is a three-year forward funding so that the school districts can plan a stable and reliable source of funding for the future. You're probably aware that every year all the schools are scrambling, not knowing exactly how much money they're going to have. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Mat-Su School District is making their estimates on how many teachers they'll have to lay off next year based on the governor's education omnibus, which is being heard now. Mm-hmm. They don't know if that will pass or not. There's a very modest increase to that base student allocation included in that education bill. But they just have to assume that that amount will go through. And then if there's – so then they figure out who's going to be laid off and scramble everyone around, give pink slips. And then if there's more money or less money, then they have to redo the whole thing. So we would really like to see a three-year forward funding, if not an inflation-proofed BSA.
One of the other responses very often heard or questions raised has to do with – the evaluation of schools to say how do we know that if more money is provided, there will be an improvement, or that for that matter, what is presently being done is the most efficient and cost-effective way to do it. And that's a heart very often. I think of discussions around do we need more money, less money, and the rest of it. How do you, has your organization looked at the question of how do you evaluate good schools?
Well, that's a great question. So one thing I want to say is that with our base student allocation, we actually have seen a real improvement in our schools over time when that base student allocation has been increased. For example, in 2004, during the Murkowski administration, our overall statewide graduation rates were abysmal. They were, in the low 60%. So everyone agreed at that point this was not good, and we really needed to get those levels up. So the legislature at the time increased that base student allocation quite dramatically, more than inflation, in fact, for 3 years in a row. And statewide graduation rates went way up. They are in the 70s now, I think 75%. I know the Anchorage rates are 79%. They went from 66 to 79%. I'm not sure about the Mat-Su levels, but it really showed a big increase. It showed an increase in math scores, in reading scores, fewer suspension rates, that kind of thing. So we can really point to when we increase this base student allocation and increase we have smaller class sizes, we have more teacher aides, we have more counselors to help out with, suspensions, that kind of thing. So we really have shown an increase in those things with funding. I'm not saying, however, that the way our schools are run right now are the absolute, best way to run our schools. Maybe we're not doing the very best job that we could with the funds that we have. But the problem is that over the past 3 years, we've just been having to cut and cut and cut. So we're not able to make really good decisions about you know, how we should change our schools, because we're kind of just losing arms and legs at this point. So what is really exciting, I have to say kind of the silver lining to the cloud of this flat funding for 3 years, is that people are really coming out of the woodwork to get involved in this issue. And it's a fantastic opportunity, I think, to come together and talk about how can we reform our schools? What is really best for our communities? What's best for our students? How is the best way to spend our money? So I feel like give us a chance to, you know, make our schools whole, keep our teachers that we have, you know, give us a chance to regroup, and then let's all come together, you know, get all the stakeholders together at a table and figure out what's best.
So one of the ongoing questions at the present time in the legislature and people's minds has to do with the availability of alternatives for either elementary schools or other schools, very often circling around the name charter schools or alternative schools. And I know that there's recently been a discussion about the Mat-Su School District, which has an incredible variety of opportunities, as does the Anchorage School District and other districts in the state. And there's been a question of whether public schools, the public school umbrella, when we talk about schools, is the best place to do this, or whether some monies, increase in monies, should go to schools that are outside of the umbrella and not exactly within what are termed public schools. And, of course, there's a major issue in the legislature dealing with the question of changing the Constitution to allow funding for private schools, which would be essentially non-public schools. Has your organization been able to take any position around this or look at the issue?
I guess I would say that it's an issue that we don't think the constitutional amendment is a great idea, because basically taking money away from our public schools and putting it into private schools is something we'd like to strengthen our public schools. Our public schools serve everyone. So we feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't have the wherewithal to, let's say they wanted to take their kid to a different school, a private school. But maybe they're working three jobs and they don't have an opportunity to drive their kids to a different charter school, or not a charter school, but a private school. Mm-hmm. So what happens to their neighborhood school is we really feel that that neighborhood school would languish with even fewer public monies than it's getting now, because then those public funds are taken away and put into perhaps private schools. So I would say that we are really focused on improving our public school system. We really feel like that's we're bringing all ships up. You know, when mm-hmm. when we ask for an increase in the base student allocation, we're asking for an increase to, you know, to the Mat-Su, to Anchorage, to small rural villages all over Anchorage. We're not just asking for a specific segment of the population.
So let's shift a little bit and go back to the, I've used the term organization and group and what you are. You were newly formed in any case, and perhaps still evolving as a group. How do you relate to those more established groups? And I'm thinking, for example, there's obviously been a long history of lobbying the legislature. We have teachers groups. We have, for that matter, the School Board Association. We have the individual districts gathered together that lobby in some respect. We have parent groups, PTA groups, et cetera. How do you relate to all of those other people? Do you have communication? How does that work?
Well, that's another fun question. I'm involved in my Rabbit Creek School, elementary school PTA, and together with the president of that PTA, we've been reaching out as sort of in tandem with Great Alaska Schools, certainly keeping everyone informed of what we're doing, but reaching out to all the PTAs we can find all over the state, not just PTAs, but PTOs, PTSAs, other kind of parent organizations. So that's one thing that we're sort of also doing. Like you say, we're a very loose group, and it, in a way, anybody who has a good idea about how to get information out sort of tells the group and then goes out and does it and gets ideas from the group. So so certainly we are working with those other PTA and PTO groups. Mm-hmm. In terms of teachers, we're not, I think our real power is that we aren't teachers. Mm-hmm. We are supporting our schools, but nobody can say, oh, you have a vested interest. That's your job. Right. Which, even though, of course, I support teachers, I want lots of teachers in my school, and I want good teachers in my schools for our Alaska. Mm-hmm. I think our real power is that we are not we don't have that vested interest that the legislators, for example, can say, well, you're just trying to look out for your job or your benefits or whatever.
So I have this image of 1,000 people going down to Juneau and standing in line at the doors to the Capitol while waiting to be allowed in because the building is filled with more people than it can handle. How do you communicate with legislators? You don't go as a mass and do this. How's that work?
Well, many different ways, actually. It's great you asked. I guess about 3 weeks ago, I did go to Juneau with a group of parents and students, mm-hmm. and we talked to almost 40 legislators while we were down there. So that was a great experience. I learned a lot in the last 7 weeks. So that was great. So we and I'm actually planning on going back again with another group of parents and students at the end of the month in March. So for sure, Juneau visits. We also did a rally late February in Anchorage at the Lusac Library outside, right. And had 500 people that showed up on a.
Was that one that had some sort of a controversial discussion in the opinion pages of
yes,
the paper?
Yes, that was it. there was an article, an opinion piece that was written about it, something about oil taxes, he thought the rally was about. And okay. And it wasn't at all about oil taxes, actually. It was about supporting our public schools. So, yes, there was a little bit of a flutter in the paper about that. But, okay. So we had a rally. I have been going to all kinds of, different groups, PTA groups, PTO groups. We've been writing emails to all kinds of people, asking them to write emails, write letters, make phone calls to their legislators. And frankly, I think that's the most powerful thing that we can do is, as constituents of our legislators, ask them, please support a rise to that base student allocation and then forward fund it by 3 years. It's our legislators really are working for us. And so while they might not be happy to, talk to me, if it's a Mat-Su legislator, they don't necessarily want to hear what someone from South Anchorage thinks. Boy, they really want to hear what someone from Palmer thinks.
So. Right. So what kind of response have you had to this point? What would you say it gives you the sense that you're making progress?
Oh, well, a couple different things. When we were in Juneau, we got the sense that for example, for the last 3 years, there's been no increase to the base student in allocation. Well, so the governor's bill this year is actually the first time in 3 years that we've had any increase, even though it's only a small increase. Mm-hmm. It's $200 over 3 years rather than what we'd like to replace what's been lost, the $400 this year, and, inflation-proofed after that. So $85 in the first year and $58 in the following two is what the governor's bill suggests. And so that's really not enough to keep the teachers in the classrooms that we have, and especially in a place like Mat-Su that already has some of the biggest class sizes in the state, that's a big issue. Right now they're looking at having to have an increase of one student per class in all the grades.
Right.
So it wasn't looking too good. But when we went down to Juneau, and that was after 4 weeks of really rallying people and asking them to write their legislators, most of our legislators that we talked to thought that the governor's bill was really the minimum. And even the governor's office was saying that, well, it's a modest increase that we suggested in order to get the conversation started. So I do feel that we are making progress towards a BSA that's higher than that original governor's bill.
Okay, and as of course many listeners and the BSA applies statewide. And while you were speaking about that, I was thinking you are located in Anchorage. Do you have representation primarily from Anchorage or say Mat-Su, or what kind of representation in the group you're working
with? Thank you for asking that question. So most of us are in Anchorage, and we teamed up with the group Great Alaska Schools that had originally begun in Juneau, but they had a great you know, their ideas were really similar to what we were doing. So we teamed up with them. They had a website that we could join with and stuff. But what we're really trying to do is reach out statewide. And so I'm so happy to get the opportunity to talk to you today, because if we would love to have people step forward. Our website, GreatAlaskaSchools.org, has information. You can sign up there. You can get in touch with us. If there's someone, you know, people from Palmer that want to come together and organize, boy, do we have materials and help and advice and experience that we can help with. We're having another rally March 29th at the LUSAC, and it would be so fantastic if we could get, you know, some Palmer folks that wanted to organize at the same time. So we don't have very much representation outside of Anchorage and Juneau, but boy, would we love to have that.
And though in many, many ways, my sense about Anchorage is, although it's often called the urban center and it's provided as a contrast to other parts of the state, there are many people from all over the state who have come to Anchorage to live. And whether it's a native population or people who have just moved there from other places, you have more than just a, I think, urban-centric view of things. Now, you mentioned a bit ago Juneau. Was that formed a little bit earlier?
Yes.
Yeah. How long a history do they have, do you think?
You know, I'm not
approximately.
I am not sure. Let's see. It was about 10 years ago that the original Great Alaska Schools group started, and they were also advocating for strong public schools. But I haven't been involved with them until, you know, 7 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah. So as you move forward from this point, you've already suggested that you'll go back down to Juneau, and I'm wondering, beyond the lobbying, beyond what you're doing now and gathering and talking, do you have any other sense or see where the organization is evolving? Right now, you've got a focus. I mean, you're focused on a very specific task, which is increasing funding, it sounds, this year, this legislature. And of course, what we also know is that organizations sometimes come up for very specific tasks, but then go on. Is there any move to incorporate with the state of Alaska or become a 501c3 or anything of that sort?
I'm not sure about what structure we'll take on, but one of the things that we're really excited about doing is kind of what I was talking about before with the reform. I think that since we have so many great people that have come together on this issue, what we'd really like to do is look at a more long-term approach to, you know, what's best for our students in Alaska. Mm-hmm. What can we do to all come together? There was actually a document created in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the whole city came together. It was, I think, a similar situation. The whole city came together, you know, from all, you know, all political persuasions, all walks of life, economic, everything. And they all came together and could agree on, this is what our children deserve in terms of our schools. This is what we support. So they created this plan, this document, and then they were able to go to every assembly meeting, every legislative hearing, every meeting that came up afterwards. And Minnesota has fantastic schools now. So I think that's kind of what we're looking at is right now we are completely focused until the end of the session, April 20th, on this increasing this base student allocation. After the session, we're going to look toward, you know, coming together and figuring out how can we, working together with all kinds of, you know, Chamber of Commerce and, you know, business people and all kinds of people in the community. And our legislators, too, to try to figure out what we can do to make our schools better.
So just to complete the picture, I know that there are many individuals that are associated with your group. Are there any other organizations that have sort of representation or are there members of the group that are involved heavily in other organizations? Could you say anything to that? No.
I mean,
so it's not that kind of thing where you say, well, you have somebody from the mayor's office or the chamber or from the da 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 and all
we
the rest
of
this.
We are as grassy grassroots as they come.
Okay. Well, that's important to know, and that and you have obviously a website, Great Alaska Schools
.org
that you can go to. So if a listener is wondering a bit. That we haven't covered some aspect of the description or want to be involved in some way, that's one place they can certainly go.
Absolutely.
I've been talking here with Allison Ahrens from Great Alaska Schools from Anchorage and beyond. Any last comments before we finish?
Yes, thank you. I would just like to say, the most important thing we can do is contact our legislators right now. And up until April 20th, you know, whatever your views are, they're listening. And if you're not sure who your legislator is, you can go on online. One good place to look for that is openstates.org. You can find your legislator there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I just encourage your listeners, you know, thanks so much for listening to our story. And please, if you care about what's happening with our public school funding, make that make the time to write that email or make the phone call.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.